You're listening to episode 86 of the Forest Podcast, recorded Monday, March 28th, 2011. Fried chicken. Welcome to the Forest Podcast. I'm Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
And this is your daily tech design and development fried chicken.
You think we're going to actually get through the whole week this week, Mike?
Without fried chicken? Absolutely not.
No, I mean, well, I already broke that one. No, I mean without missing any days.
Yeah, well, I've had dog problems and all types of stuff.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. This is, you know, this is like, I haven't looked at the script for doing that intro in like a week and a half.
Wow.
Yeah,
you got it down now.
You know, and you know, well, some people don't like the banter that happens on this show occasionally.
Yeah, fuck them.
They don't appreciate how we gave them a rundown of the Super Bowl commercials 6 months later. But you know what? I don't care.
I don't believe it was 6 months. I believe it was about two.
Something like that, yeah.
One of us on the show can count.
Anyway, let's start
the show. There was something else I was going to say, but now I can't think of what it was.
Browser does it?
No.
No.
But yeah, browser does it. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that your browser can actually do on its own, or just with built-in technologies like JavaScript and CSS and stuff. You don't necessarily have to have like a Flash player or some other plugin architecture. You don't necessarily have to have any sort of crazy shit. You can just do the stuff inside the browser. So browserdoesit.stastic.com. Stastic.
That's spastic.
No, Stastic. STASTIC.com.
Oh, I see some stuff we've covered in here. Detect nudity on photos.
Yes, there is definitely stuff in here that we've talked about on the show before. Basically, it's a big list of stuff that you can do with basically just your browser. You don't have to have crazy plugins and shit to do it.
It's not all stuff they've done. It's just a list. It's just a compiled list.
Yeah, it's a list off the tutorials or how-to guides or whatever.
But better than most. Like, all this stuff is actually cool.
Yeah, well, and some of it's things like maybe you didn't realize, like that your browser could render PostScript or that you could run Smalltalk and, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, it's some kind of cool stuff, things that you didn't realize you could do. It's an odd list to some degree because it's like access your Dropbox. Well, yeah, you go to the Dropbox website. That's
right.
Not really surprising. But a lot of people maybe really don't realize that they can go to Dropbox.com and look at their Dropbox. They don't have to have Dropbox installed on a given computer.
Generate and play MIDI sequences, control an audio sequencer, do audio magic.
You can do a lot of shit.
Generate noise on images. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yes, because we need more of that.
You know what? I don't like the arguments about things are overused, though. Like, I've been wanting to shoot every single person on Forest who has been posting stuff about Lobster.
Lobster is overused, though.
But
Lobster is a beautiful, wonderful font. It is.
Nothing. I think we've had this argument before. Nothing's overused. It's just bad design.
There is a lot of bad design.
Like, if Lobster was appropriate for 60,000 websites, then it wouldn't be overused. It'd be being used properly.
Right. Well, I think the argument is more... You're correct. The argument is more people are using Lobster badly, but that's not as easy to express as you're using Lobster too much.
I don't know. Like, I get the feeling like some of these people would say that, you know, two-button mouse is used, is overused. Like, it's how you...
Well, yeah, no, some people may not be smart enough to see the distinction there. Yes, I just insulted some of our listeners. Isn't that fun?
But not you. Not you, listener,
no,
who's listening right now.
Not you, the person listening right now.
The person to the left of you.
Other people, yes. But no, I mean, it's just like we talked about Comic Sans, right? Like, the most reviled of all fonts actually has...
Right.
A real,
dyslexics, right?
Valid, good use. Yes, dyslexic and children. Children also seem to benefit.
What about dyslexic children?
I do believe they have to use Times New Roman.
I think they could, if they're dyslexic children, they can get it through osmosis.
Probably, yes. Or you just like throw the book at them. Mozilla, the wonderful people at Mozilla, to celebrate Firefox 4 coming out, released, and we're a little late on this, but blame Mike, released a pretty cool demo.
I was not impressed.
A week or so ago called the CSS3 Planetarium.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing's pretty cool.
I don't know. It seemed meh to me.
It's not amazing. I mean, at this point, we've seen a whole lot of these different things, so it's, you know, it's not as surprising as it was like when the first one or two of these came
right
out. But I don't know. It's cool. It's nice looking. It's nice that it works in pretty much any of the super modern browsers. It'll work in Firefox, it'll work in Chrome, it'll work in Safari.
The question is, does it include Pluto?
I do not believe it does.
Good. All right.
Which makes sense because Pluto's not a not a planet anymore.
I've been reading a book called How I Killed Pluto and Why I Had It Coming, and it is awesome.
Yeah, it's from Brian Cox, right?
It's from Mike Brown. Mike Brown. He's actually the researcher.
Oh, okay. I thought Brian Cox was the one that had done that. But
well, there was three people on a team. It's Mike, Chad, and some other guy. It might be Brian. I don't remember.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, though, this is kind of cool. If you like space, and if you don't like space, you should probably stop listening to the show. then it's worth checking out just for kind of getting to see, like, you know, some kind of cool shit. I want to see how this runs on my wife's iPad, actually.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I don't know if it would work there or not.
I don't have my iPad, and it makes me very sad.
It's pretty cool.
Gazelle has my iPad.
Sucks to be you.
It does.
Sucks to be you.
Dropbox.
So, Jotform. Jotform.com. They're kind of like WooFo. They have a form builder kind of thing. But something that's kind of cool is they offer what's called Dropbox forms. And so basically it's a little form people on your website can fill out.
Yeah.
As part of it, they can include a file or files, I'm guessing. And then those files get uploaded to your Dropbox. So like maybe you have a request for proposal form on your website, you're a designer, developer, and you want them to upload existing materials or a sitemap or something. They can drop it in there and it goes straight to your Dropbox, so you don't have to deal with going and fetching files from your web server or
right.
having them email in stuff or anything like that. You just, bam, it's up in your Dropbox.
I have a request for stolen content or something. This is what WikiLeaks is going to be using soon.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I can already see nefarious ways that this could be used. And I can also see like some really handy stuff, like you set up a little form on your website that uploads to your Dropbox for like torrent files or something, and then syncs it to your home computer, which watches for torrents.
Wouldn't that be one of the nefarious uses?
That would be a nefarious use. Okay. I just told you how to do it. Don't do it, kids. Don't live a life of crime.
You're all supposed to be over 18 anyway. The show is explicit.
Be an upstanding student. Or something.
What's a student?
Speaking of students, I'm disappointed. I just last night finished season 3 of Buffy, and then I find out that Netflix has taken them all off of Instant Watch on the 1st of April.
What?
Now I'm all pissed off because there's no way I'm going to finish 4 more seasons.
And it's just getting good.
I know. Like, it was... none of the seasons have had good climaxes, though. Like,
the climax
is always way too short.
They'll have some good climaxes when you get to... Oh, fuck, I can't even remember her name, so I'm not going to waste our time.
It doesn't matter, but I mean, like the climax should take more than the last 10 minutes of an episode.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Like, there should be no climax that takes a quarter of an episode. That's stupid.
Well, one of the climaxes isn't an actual climax.
Right. The climaxes should be, like, you know, 3 episodes long. Like, go watch
PSG.
Some of them are. Each season is... It's well done. ColorAPI.com.
This site is so cool.
I almost want to say we've had this before, but we haven't.
No,
so,
we haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, this is actually really cool. You search for whatever term that you want. Like, they recommend Japan or I think it was winter.
I searched Buffy.
You search for what?
Buffy.
Search for whatever you want, and it goes and finds images on Flickr that have that word as like a tag or in the description or whatever, grabs those images and then grabs the dominant colors from those images to create color palettes for you.
Yep. A lot of people name their cats Buffy.
Really? I'm kind of not surprised by that, but okay. But no, this is really cool, and it's a neat idea for how to, like, you know, you've got this mood that you want, you know, I want, I don't know, corporate or something. And so then it goes and finds pictures that fit this mood for you and gives you color schemes to kind of start working with, which I think is a cool idea. Could be very handy for some of our designers out there. Those, like, two of them that listen to us.
Yeah, I mean, and I like the design, how it's set up, how you get the
picture
on
top. I like
when
you search, how the little bar starts sliding.
Yeah, and when I first did that, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought I broke it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's also really nice. Yeah. Six revisions.
That's a lot of revisions.
Not 5. Not 10. 6.
I don't allow revisions when I do freelance work.
Yeah, I don't either. I allow, like, 1.
And that's only for typography.
Well, see, I'll do like, you know, when you, I'll be like, okay, you get like three small revisions and one major revision, and I get to decide what's what. And so then it kind of comes down to like, okay, well, this is easy, but I have to track it down a whole lot of places, right. So it's going to take me a long time.
You want
time.
That
so
logo that's nudged major to revision. The left? Oh, I'm sorry. That's a major revision, sir.
Yeah. No, wait. I can't adjust pixel sizes. You got to go talk to the browser manufacturers and the screen manufacturers. Oh, wait. You meant move. Shit. So Six Revisions has an article here from Jason Gross, who is just completely gross.
That's gross.
About understanding the elements of responsive web design. So responsive web design, we've talked about this before. It's the idea that the website or whatever it is that you're dealing with reflows to fit the available screen size.
Right.
Which, if that's all it was, we'd just leave it. We wouldn't even have this link in here. What makes this good is that he has a whole lot of links and explanation for the different pieces of a responsive web design, like a flexible grid and flexible images and things like that. And like, so it links off to tutorials and how-tos and examples of how each of these things work so that you're not just kind of lost with, you should be doing responsive design, well, and then that's it.
The best way to do responsive design is to just go to Simon Collison's site and copy and paste all of the...
Simon Collison does have a damn good...
You just copy and paste everything. That's how you do it. That's how everybody does it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Which is why every single responsive web design site looks exactly like Simon Collison.
And then it's done. And it's the responsible way to do responsive web design.
Yes. So you remember Y, the lucky stiff, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he went missing a little bit ago and eaten by sharks.
I don't believe he created this because he forked this from somebody else on GitHub. But Y has a wonderful project up on GitHub that I thought you would love. It is called Unholy. And it is a Ruby to Python compiler.
That's because that's why it's unholy.
I know exactly why it's unholy.
It's just wrong.
But it compiles Ruby into Python bytecode, which is pretty funny. Pretty funny. And then it'll also translate that bytecode back to Python source code using decompile, which is installed. So
I wonder how well it works. Like, interesting.
I don't know. I haven't tested it out. I don't know how well it works at all, but it's a cool idea. So,
learn Python if you're coming from Ruby, see what it ends up spitting out.
Yeah, or you could just learn Ruby and if you're coming from Python.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're that different. So, let's move on. Technical web typography, guidelines, and techniques from Smashing Magazine.
Smashing Magazine.
We cover a lot of stuff about typography.
Yes, we do.
You notice that? And I think one of the reasons is because typography is a very scientific, mathematical part of design, and you and I are both developers, so our brains tend to work more on that logical side.
Yeah, I keep meaning to get some good typography books, and I never do. I got suggestions on Forrest too.
There's one or two I've read that were like actually really good, but but yeah, I don't know if they're still accurate or not, and I don't remember what the titles were. I read them years ago, but this is a long guide. Like every damn thing that Smashing Magazine puts out,
it's got
out.
Some good suggestions though. Like make sure if you're doing Helvetica to know that it looks like shit on PCs.
Yeah, well, and they talk about stuff as well that we've talked about before, but they bring it back up, like, you know, talking about measure and vertical spacing and things like that, so that you get the correct rhythm and feel to your type, even if you're doing, you know, something simple. So I don't know. I think it's important stuff to read if you're worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, oh my god, my type has to scale correctly or else.
Why are pictures of grids always pink?
I don't know. I was kind of wondering that too. Like, why not, like, a nice gray or something?
Yeah.
I guess because gray, if you have type that's light enough or small enough, it would kind of blend in.
And then a lot of people use gray for, like, boxes and stuff.
Right. Pink, okay. Pink stands out. Most people don't use pink.
We just solved our own question. Shouldn't even been a question.
It shouldn't have been. Why'd you even ask that?
Because I just wanted to sound like I had things to contribute.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. All right. Web standards Sherpa.
Yay. I don't see any Sherpas on here, though. I see a goat.
I see a goat. Goats are not Sherpas.
No.
No, so anyway, this is just, it's kind of a new little website. It's out there, right? It's from the Web Standards Project.
It's kind of cute.
It's kind of cute. It's very nice design.
It's one of those sites that makes me angry because I'd never be able to make it by myself because there's so much illustration.
Right. There is an amazing amount of illustration on here. Anyway, it's like a discussion, debate kind of site for best practices in web development, web design, and web standards usage. So all sorts of the topics that we cover, like accessibility and usability and CSS and all that random shit, definitely worth going and checking out. They don't have a whole lot of articles up just yet because they're relatively new. But, you know, there's definitely enough stuff here to go read. And since they're new, it's a good time to jump in and stake your claim.
So you can be back, you know, 6 months from now. Like, I've been here the whole time. I don't know who you newbies are.
Right, exactly. Because you want to get, you know, to where you can, like...
You want to be able to just have your name as Mike on the show, on the website.
Hey, you know what I just realized?
What'd you just realize?
This next link, we already covered it.
Son of a bitch. What is it? Let me see.
The Designing Fast with a Baseline Grid. That was like last show.
I saw that. And I thought there just might be like a part one, part two type of thing.
No.
Well,
I just must have put it in twice.
Go listen to last week's show if you're very interested in designing faster with a baseline grid.
Yeah, and then come back here. Mm-hmm. All right, what designers should know about visual perception and memory?
Nothing.
Did you read this?
Absolutely nothing.
This is another really long one, but this is actually really cool. It's kind of the science behind how we perceive things with our eyes.
Right.
Of course, it's from a general goal because, you know, people are colorblind or whatever, so you can't trust everything as being perfect.
Well, that's why they say Facebook is blue, right? Because it's the only color that Zuckerberg can see.
Is that what it is?
That's what I've heard. That might be an urban myth.
Maybe somebody should punch him in the eye and see if he can see some more.
That's not very nice.
anyway, though, it's a whole lot of different stuff about how you can kind of use people's perceptions and use people's memory to help them better
buy your things.
Better buy your things, but better like remember you and recognize you and stuff like that. So,
like few weeks in college when I moved into the dorms, I wore a giant sombrero for like 3 weeks straight whenever I went to breakfast or lunch or anything like that. And after a while, people were like, "Oh, it's the sombrero guy. We know that guy." That's kind of a dick.
That is a little kind of a dick thing. But,
okay. It worked. I'm just saying. I gave visual cues to who I was.
You did.
Anyway.
All right. Matt.mite.net.
Matt Mike Net.
Yeah. Matt Mite. He's got an article here, a little blog post. The blog posty. How to create native-looking iPhone and iPad applications from HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Stuff like this has been around. You know, people have read and known about these things for a while, but it's kind of just a nice little collection of all the different stuff that that you can do.
Basically, Matt is dead to the world and had no idea.
Yeah, Matt hadn't read the internet. But it's nice to see all this stuff in, like, one location so that it's not spread out all over, because a lot of the stuff you have to go kind of like dig around and try and find. So
jump up all these list posts, man. We can get starting yelled at again.
This isn't even a list post, though. This is just a long fucking tutorial.
It's an unordered list.
It's definitely unordered. All right, Graceful Exits, which is a Drupal blog. How do we know that? Because they didn't change their favicon.
Who's coming with me?
Every damn person. What is it with that? Graceful Exits. How to construct a web developer in 12 months. I thought this was really kind of cool.
You know who this is going to.
What?
You know this is going to Dennis.
Yeah. You got to send this over to Dennis. It's not necessarily like a step-by-step guide, but it's like a pretty good list of suggestions, like stuff for people to read, stuff for people to attend, stuff for them to do, like find an itch to scratch. You know, start looking for something that you want to solve for yourself and then solve it. You know, that's like one of the best ways to learn is to actually have a problem that you're trying to fix. Stuff to research, places to join and play. I don't see Forest listed there, which is kind of disappointing.
I didn't see Drippy Cup either, though.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. Stuff to play with, stuff to build, and finally how to do polish. And if you get through all of this and And, you know, you might not even have to do this in 12 months. You might do this in 3 or 4 months, right? But you won't be as good.
Right. Six days. And then go make an e-commerce site.
Yeah. You make an e-commerce site in like 2 weeks after reading all this. But it gives you, you know, if you're like really wanting to be a developer, this is definitely a really good list. I didn't see anything in here that I really disagreed with other than like it tells you to join LinkedIn, which is generally a bad idea.
Well, you got to join LinkedIn so you know enough about it to make fun of it.
Yeah, I actually canceled my LinkedIn account the other day.
Canceled
it. Just wiped it out because I never got anything but emails from recruiters. And so I was like, you know what? Just fuck this. I don't even need it.
Would you like to sell Avon? No, not Avon. It's Amway.
Amway? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about it after the show. All right. The IE6ify bookmarklet.
I like this because you just keep clicking and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until it crashes your browser.
Pretty much, yeah. It's, I don't even know how to describe this. It's a little bookmarklet. The copy reads, after years of observation and reverse engineering, I proudly announce that I've been able to reproduce the IE6 algorithm to break even the most standards-compliant websites. And, you basically drop this into your bookmarks bar, and then you go to, Forest, you know, some nice-looking website, and you click your IE6ify, and you basically just watch the website kind of fall apart.
There's got to be a way to make this run automatically all the time on any site in the background and put it on your friend's, you know, computer.
I'm sure you could make a Chrome extension of it. just ran on every single website.
Just party extension. Find your web developer friend, install it on his machine, and then watch him freak out over the next 6 months.
Don't tell him about it. Just every site's going to look bad.
He's lost all of his jobs. He can't fix it.
That's not nice. That's not nice at all, Mike. But what would be even better is if it's really easy to produce an IE9 bookmark, IE9 script that automatically runs and that then runs the IE6ify.
Right. And swear up and down that IE9 is no better than IE6.
Yeah. Be like, look, IE6 breaks just as much as IE9 does. Or vice versa. IE9 breaks just as much as IE6. And then just watch everyone freak out because they won't know what the hell to do. But yeah, so if you want to have fun with your friends and
fuck your friends. Like that. Your friends suck.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. All right, so Skype is doing a contest. You've only got about 10 days left to enter this.
This is so lame.
You may have even fewer by the time Mike gets this episode up. We'll see. MacThemes.Skype.com. So Skype 5 came out not too long ago. What, 2 or 3 months ago? 2 months ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And all of their chat themes are all HTML CSS. Just like Adium is the same way. It's pretty common on the Mac. Which is really nice because it means customizing it is as simple as changing around some CSS and HTML. So Skype is featuring a contest.
Yes.
So you make your own version of the Mac chat style, submit it to them. Of course, you got to make sure that you own or have permission to use all the different stuff. And so you enter your submissions by April 8th. The judging starts April 29th. And then continues on until June 17th.
You know what's lame about this?
Say what?
You know what's lame about this?
What's lame about this?
The prizes.
Because I think the prizes are pretty nice.
No. The prizes are nice. You get an iPad 2, MacBook Air, but you only get a 1-year subscription to the thing that you fucking made. Like, isn't Unlimited World extra, like, their calling stuff?
Well, but that's like calling. What you made was a chat.
Right, so, but I mean like you've
text chat. So this just ties into your general.
You've Skype. Designed a major part of Skype, and yet for you only have 1 year to use like the top of the line part of Skype before you end up having to pay again for the thing that you've created.
Well, yeah, but how many people actually need unlimited world calling on Skype?
But then even better, like you've given it to the person, at least they get to have it, right?
I guess so. It could have been 2 years.
Like, come on. Like, that's like telling Pasquale that he only has a 1 year sponsorship, supporter membership on Forest. Like,
well, he only has it for a month unless he pays again. Right?
the person who did all of our illustrations, we're only going to give it to him for a month or for 1 year.
Hey, the person who does the podcast. We're not going to talk about this. Anyway, the judges. The prizes, three different people win an iPad 2, a copy of CSS3 for Web Designers, and a 1 year subscription to Unlimited World Extra, which is a crazy ass name. Three winners get an Apple TV, a copy of CSS3 for Web Designers, and a 1 year subscription to Unlimited World Extra.
I think I know CSS3 for Web Designers if I've made the fucking Mac chat style.
Well, now you can give it away. You can make your blog SEO friendly by being like, dude, I'm having a contest.
And how come they get it, but the grand prize doesn't get one? What's up with this?
I think the grand prize is okay, all right?
Judge's Choice prize, gets the CSS3 for Web Designers. They only could get two books.
They don't need the books, all right? If you're the grand prize winner, then your chat style is going to be in all the future Skype releases until, I guess, they decide otherwise. You win an Apple 11-inch MacBook Air, an Apple iPad 2, and a 1 year subscription to Unlimited World Extra. You know, I think it's definitely worth trying for. I mean, all you have to do is go change some CSS around and come up with something awesome.
You're not going to be doing anything anyway. Might as well.
Yeah. You know, go show off your skills of the artist and see what you can come up with. You got about 10 days left.
17 hours, 23 minutes.
That's plenty of time. Plenty of time. If you can't do it in 10 days, then you don't deserve to win it.
You must be 18 years or older.
Yes. So all you junior campers, not going to be able to enter.
And
sorry.
I don't know anything else. Those are all the things I know.
Yep. And so last one, blog.sakuri.net. fun little thing happened yesterday. MySQL.com, which is the commercial front end of the MySQL database, was compromised, which is kind of sad. It was compromised via a SQL injection.
You don't say.
Which is the fun part. Yeah, I would really hope that the people who own and create MySQL would be smart enough to not be compromised.
I figured somebody must have sent Jack Bauer in or something to mess with stuff, but no.
No, apparently not. It was a blind SQL injection. The really fun thing is that they dumped a bunch of passwords. They listed the internal databases, tables, and the password dump. So if you have an account on MySQL.com, you probably want to go change your password.
Wait, they didn't have their passwords in plain text, too.
No, hold on. They posted the password dump online where it was cracked. People started cracking it.
Nice.
MySQL Director of Product Management.
It's only four numbers long.
Has a password that is four numerical digits long. So it's probably a year, wouldn't you think?
Nice.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mine is apparently one, two...
multiple admin passwords for blogs.mysql.com were also posted.
My password's like 16 characters.
Yeah, no, I don't have any, like, simple passwords anymore, but I just can't believe that a director of MySQL had a four-digit password.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Can he fire himself?
This is all the more reason to be using Postgre. Actually, this has nothing to do with why you should use Postgre, but it's fun to attack MySQL. MySQL.com was powered by Apache and PHP. So maybe the shortcoming was on PHP side. I don't know. But it was compromised via a SQL injection.
I blame Apache. Apache's never worked.
Somebody didn't validate their input.
No, they didn't.
It's little Bobby Tables.
Sounds like Zach's doing to me.
Yes, it probably was Zach's doing. He took Forrest down on Friday. It was all his fault.
He's impressive.
Yeah, he's awesome. It wasn't actually Zach's fault, though. Don't start, like, emailing him.
No, it's Zach's fault. Zach Kitzmiller @forest.com. No, it's Zach @forest.com.
Zach@forest.com, yeah.
Yell at him.
It's all Zach's fault,
Or how about this? Shit, I should have had the link ready. I can't remember it. We are doing open hours or open office or what is it called?
Office hours
with Forest on Wednesday. You get to talk to the whole crew. We got, six slots available.
Pretty much the whole crew.
We'll let Kenneth come too.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, well, fuck you then.
But it was funny that I got asked about it. I thought that was cute.
And then eventually I will be doing open hours 3 days a week for like 2 hours a day. For anybody who has any problems, questions, want to yell at me, whatever, I will be available to talk to you because I'm getting tired of sending emails.
I want to yell at you.
You do that already. The only reason you're not doing it today is because I told you about my dog.
I know, but I want to like, you know, pull hours out.
I think Tap Touch Click is our first registered office hour.
I am really not surprised.
So anyway,
that sounds mean, but I'm just really not surprised.
I'll include the link in the show.
All right, sounds good. That's the show for today.
That's all of it.
Yeah. So forestpodcast.com, podcast@forest.com, and Forest Podcast on Twitter.
Yep.
That's about it. Right?
That's it. That's everything. That's all she wrote. We're over and out. We're done. Finito. We shovel off this mortal coil.